The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome. Welcome to the show. Hey, it's March 2nd, 2022, and hope you all had a good yesterday. A good old doctor appointment thing, no big deal. And then Luke Wayne was going to do the show, and he had a computer issue. Hey, that just, it happens, not a big deal. And now everything's working out, hopefully better. Now, so if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. We have two open lines. If you're new to this show, what we do here is answer questions or try to answer questions on biblical topics and all kinds of stuff. I was just discussing evolution with somebody 12, 15 minutes ago in another chat system venue. So I love doing that. Last night I was teaching on Roman Catholicism on Clubhouse, was just on Discord discussing certain aspects of evolution and the problems it has. And now maybe, who knows what we'll get into here with the callers now. I really enjoy being able to, by God's grace, attempt to answer questions competently. I'm not saying I always do, but, you know, I always try. So praise God for the opportunity to be able to represent him. And hopefully everything will go fine. All right. Why don't we just, let's do this. Get on the phone here with Michelle from Missouri. Michelle, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm a little bit nervous. Can you hear me okay?
It's okay. It's all right. No problem.
So I was calling because I have been really afraid the past few weeks if I had possibly lost my salvation. I grew up Catholic, attended a Torah church, a nightmare. I was lost, clearly, then. I learned about salvation by faith alone, in Christ alone, and imputed righteousness in 2019. I believed it. I had fruit in the beginning. There was huge things happening in my marriage. But shortly after that, I had Church of Christ family that started really pushing water baptism. And I knew it was wrong, but it seems like it took a stronghold in my mind. And I watched all of your teachings. I listened to all of your debates. I feel like I think similarly to you with the questions that you ask and just your thought process with the verses. Mm-hmm. I studied and studied and studied, but I was wrestling over this, and I was so nervous. Like, I had a fear of, well, what if it is? And I couldn't get rid of the fear, and I wrestled over it for over a year, and I was really scared that I was putting faith in the fact that I had been baptized also, and I was praying against that, and I was really worried that that might be happening. And I was afraid I had started out with my faith in Christ and then now was a Galatians 5:4 falling away, being tempted by someone to put my faith somewhere else. And I just couldn't get peace about this. And finally, honestly, just a few weeks ago, I felt like the Lord, I woke up one day and that wrestling and inner struggle over it was gone. But a few days later, a new one started in, and I have been terrified that I fell from grace. I left the faith. All the verses about putting your hand to the plow, not being fit for him, the book of Hebrews, apostasy. I'm so scared that I started out with my faith in Christ alone and was cut off in Galatians, and now he doesn't want me.
Okay. All right. Well, can I ask you some questions? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, have you trusted in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins?
I believe that I did. And then I fell into this.
Well, let's do one thing at a time. One thing at a time. Okay. Let's try this. Do you right now, you know, the best of your ability, trust in Jesus?
To the best of my ability, I have a lot of fear, but I'm to the best of my ability because I know nothing in me. I know how wretched. I know all that.
Okay. So it's okay. It's okay. You're struggling, and I understand. I understand. Okay. So you've looked to Jesus, and then this stupid cult called the Church of Christ comes along, and like Satan sows seeds of doubt in your heart and your mind. A ceremony is what you got to do. And maybe you went through the ceremony thinking you had to do that, and now you realize you haven't.
I did it. I wouldn't let myself do it because I knew what Galatians said, and I knew it was wrong. And every part of me screamed that I wanted to, but I knew it was wrong, and so I wouldn't.
All right. So what you did was you did not get baptized in their sense for salvation. Good for you. And you've trusted it.
I don't honestly even have. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. It's all right.
I honestly don't really even have a valid baptism because I was baptized in the Torah Church and I was baptized Catholic. And
I'll tell you what. Were you baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
It was a mikveh ceremony that they did.
Okay.
And nobody put you under.
You don't have to be
immersed. They spoke over you.
Yeah, you don't have to be
immersed. Well, you got to put yourself under with someone speaking next to you.
Okay. I tell you what. let's solve. It's okay. It's okay. Let's solve a few problems, all right? You've intended to try and get baptized, and things haven't worked out right. Now, do you go to a church right now?
No. After I left the Hebrew Roots Church, I thought I had found peace.
Okay.
And we were in the process of maybe trying to find a church, and then this happened, and did not want to get, me and my husband, and I did not want to get baptized again.
So was this a Black Hebrew Israelite church or group?
No, just Torah observant.
Okay, so what I would recommend you do, maybe Charlie, if he's listening, could put in the link for finding that good church, and I'll tell you where to go to find it. You need to find a good church in your area and just, go get baptized. Okay. In fact,
I should? I'm so afraid to do it out of fear.
Okay. Here's the thing. Is your husband listening by any chance?
No.
Is he a Christian?
Yes, he is.
Okay. He can baptize you. You don't have to.
Funny story. He did one time in our bathtub when. But he did not say in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
I tell you what. You see, I can give you a lot of theological argumentation for the validity of the baptisms you went through by asking more questions. I'm not going to do that. Let's just make sure it's taken care of so you don't have to worry about it. Your husband, if he's a Christian, he can baptize you. You can do it in a bathtub. You can do it in a jacuzzi, in a pool, in the ocean, in a river. You can do whatever. And you don't have to be ordained in ministry to do that. Nothing in Scripture says so. So you know what you guys can do is you can talk to him. You can call me at the office here and we can talk and, whatever. And you guys could just do your thing or you pray and make sure that, your heart's right before God and that you recognize, salvation in Christ alone, not by anything you do. And that you're not so sure about the baptism of the past. You just want to get it right. And that's all you're trying to do before God. You're trying to be honest before God and right before God. And then he can just say, as you've gone through this, you can just say, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And dunking is fine. I prefer dunking, even though I believe in sprinkling and pouring as valid. I just like dunking. I think it's just cooler, the total part. I like that. And so get dunked under water, and guess what? You're baptized. If I was at your house and, you had your bathtub there and your husband was there, of course, and you're dressed appropriately, I'd baptize you the exact same way with the same formula, the same thing. And it's just as valid. Okay? So you can do that with him.
What if, did I leave the faith? Like, what if I had faith in Christ and then was...
Okay, hold on. Let me jump into that, okay? So I asked if you trusted in Jesus, all right? And you said you have. You trusted he's God in flesh, right? He died on the cross.
Yeah.
He rose from the dead. You're not putting any faith or hope in anything that you do, in order to get right with God. Is that correct?
That's what I was afraid I was doing with my when I was wrestling over baptism. Like, okay. I had this fear that,
okay,
what if I
got you. I got you. So, you know, baptism is not necessary for salvation, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So, have your husband baptize you. If you can find a church, I think you go to church. Elders can do it, but cutie back there. Okay. And then what you can do? Oh, that's all right. And what you can do is you got to understand that you're justified by faith, and your faith is in Christ. Faith is only as good as who you put it in. And you know He's God in flesh, died on the cross, rose from the dead. You trust in Him. Now, if you do that, you have to understand something. Jesus says, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be opened. This is Matthew 7:7, okay? And He goes on, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him who knocks will be opened. So what you're doing is asking God for salvation. You're asking Him for His presence and forgiveness. You're asking Him. Okay? And he who asks, it'll be given to him. Or what man is there among you when his son asks for a loaf of bread, will give him a stone? Because the reason he says that is because the way they cooked bread back then, it looked like some flat stones that were round. Or if he asks for a fish, he'll not give him a snake, will he? In the Sea of Galilee, there's a long, skinny fish that looks like a snake. He's not going to fake you out. You ask for bread, he's not going to give you a stone. You ask for fish, he's not going to give you a snake. He's saying, if you ask him, he gives it to you. If you ask him for salvation.
All the verses about falling away from the faith.
Well, those are not about you. Let's get one thing at a time. Okay? Jesus said in John 6:37-40, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I certainly will not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that all he has given me I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. This is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. So the ones he raises up on the last day are those who believe in him and who are given to him, who he says he will not lose. That's what he says. He will lose none. So let me ask you.
Go ahead.
Can Jesus lose any? You broke up. Can Jesus lose any?
No, I'm just afraid. What if I was never given to him to begin with, and I'm just a false convert?
Well, if you were, you wouldn't be worried. If you were, you wouldn't confess who Jesus is truthfully. The natural man cannot receive the things of God, for they're foolishness to him. That's 1 Corinthians 2:14. And you are obviously, in my mind, in my estimate, my understanding, you're obviously saved. You love the Lord, and you're just confused because of what the false teachers have done. You can dismiss them and lean on Jesus. He said he'll lose none. He won't lose you because you've been given to him by the Father from eternity. Now hold on, we got a break, and we'll come back and we'll finish up some more, okay? Oh, darn. Oh, of all the times to hit the wrong stinking button, I just hung up on her. Michelle, please call back. My apologies. I messed up on that one. I just slapped myself. We'll be right back, folks.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, buddy, welcome back to the show. Boy, every now and then I will just click the wrong button. They're right next to each other on my monitor, and one is for hold, and well, one's air, one's drop, one's for hold, and I just hit the wrong one. And so if you're listening, Michelle, you know, please call back. It was just me being a doofus. And I said in the chat room that I was a complete doofus for doing that. And Charlie comes in and he goes, emphasis on complete. He can verify it. So at any rate, please call back, all right? I know you're listening. I hope you are. But that kind of issue she's going through, it's a normal thing that people go through and they wonder. And the solution is to not look to themselves, but to look to Christ. Not to look to their failures and the perfection of their own thoughts, because they'll never find sufficiency there. But always look to the work of Christ, who is complete and sufficient. Always look to Jesus, what he said. Because he said the will of the Father is that Jesus lose none. And Jesus can't fail to do the will of the Father. So therefore, Jesus won't lose any. And anyone who has truly trusted in Christ is saved. And sometimes we wonder, well, have I really done this? Well, that's something only you can answer. And it's a question, you know, have I really done this, or am I thinking I've really done this? Well, here's the thing. Our hearts betray us. And I have a saying that when I'm talking to God, and I get into this loop of, am I really thinking this? Am I really repentant enough? Am I really this enough? Because I think maybe I'm thinking I am, but I'm really not. And maybe I'm thinking, if I can say that in my heart, and God might hear me, that I might convince him, and therefore, because, am I really doing this? And I just have this thing I say, and I just stop, and I say, my heart betrays me. It betrays me. And then I just look to Christ. I just look to him and say, Lord, I trust you. The best of my ability, the best of my understanding, I just trust in you. And I know he's not going to fake me out and give me something other than what I ask. And that's redemption in him. And so this is what we have to understand. These doubts arise when we start looking at ourselves more than God. I'm not saying don't examine yourself, but I mean, when we look at ourselves so much that we negate the truth of what Christ has said, that he will give a good gift to us if we ask him, we ask for salvation, and that he won't lose us, then we can trust in what he has said, and that's what we need to do. Okay? All right. Three open lines, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Rudolph from Raleigh, North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air.
How you doing? Thank you. My question is about Daniel 10:4.
Chapter 10?
Yes, Daniel 10:4. He was having a vision about the vision that he had. He was describing someone that sounded like Jesus from the Revelation, but then the Prince of Persia withheld him, and he said that he waited on Michael, the Prince of Angels, to help him. And when I read that, I read it like 4 times. There's no way that it could be Jesus, because the Lord is not going to need help. Do you know who it is?
So who was he seeing? On the 24th day of the first month, while I was by the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen, whose waist was girded by a belt of pure gold of Uphaz. His body was like a barrel, B-E-R-Y-L. I believe it's a stone. His face had the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like the flaming torches. His arms and the feet like the gleam of polished bronze. And the sound of his words was like that of a tumult. I like that word, tumult. I just always did. Like a roaring, a tumult. Now I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, while the men who were there with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell upon them, and they ran away to hide themselves. So I was left alone, saw this great vision, yet no strength was left in me. So you're asking, who was it that he saw?
Well, it sounds like a description of Christ in Revelation, but it couldn't be, because he said that he got help from Michael, and I know it couldn't be the Lord, because the Lord wouldn't need no help to defeat angels. Couldn't be the Lord.
Yeah, I don't know who it was. It's a vision, and the thing about visions is they often use very symbolic imagery to represent something else, like Nebuchadnezzar's statue of the gold and the silver and the bronze and the clay mixed with iron and the feet, and what this means. And so here we have another instance of a vision that's occurring. And so I haven't looked at this in a long time, so I really can't tell you too much about it, so except to say I don't know exactly what it represents. You're right, there are similarities with the visions of Christ described in Revelation, but it doesn't mean that it is him. So what we have to do is just look and say, well, could it be a representation of Christ and not be Christ as a vision? Could it be a representation of something else? And then what we have to do, what we would have to do, is read the immediate context before and after and see if those phrases are used within the book of Daniel and see how they're used so that we can then determine more accurately what is occurring. Okay. It's, yeah. Yeah, he says he fell into a deep sleep on his face to the ground. Yeah, he's like, wow. You know, and I'm glancing at some commentaries while I'm talking here, looking around, and I don't really see much of what they have to say, except to say that no attempt is made to identify who that is. And that's it. So I won't, you know, I don't know. It's okay to say, hey, I don't know. All right? All right,
Okay, thank you.
All
yes,
right.
Sir. Bye-bye.
Okay. Okay. God bless. All right. Let's get on the air with Jaden from Idaho. Jaden, welcome. Welcome to one of the great states of the Union.
I want to... Mm-hmm. Thank you. I just want to say I wasn't really going to call today, but my mom told me I should, and the First Lady is just totally... You just answered what's going on for me.
Are you having the same problem? Same concern?
Well, similarly. Like, I feel sometimes like I'm a false Christian, and I feel bad and guilty.
Well, what do you feel guilty about?
Because I've had some bad thoughts about God.
You did? Well, I can tell you where those come
from. Yeah.
Yeah, they come from inside your own heart and your own sinfulness and your own flesh. And it could even, you know, be helped along by demonic forces, but we don't know exactly how or what. I'm not trying to put a weird thing on you, but we don't need demonic forces to think bad things and stupid things, because that's what we are down deep. But here's a question.
I know.
Why would God love us anyway, even though he knows all that about us? I mean, have you thought about that?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Yeah. No, it's a good question. Now, I'm quite a bit older than you, all right? And
yeah,
I can tell you I've thought a lot more bad things than you have, and yet I'm still saved. Now, we've got a break, so hold on. I'm going to hit the right button this time, and then we'll come back and talk to you afterwards, okay? All right, Jaden, hold on, Jaden. We have three open lines, everybody, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. I'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. We have three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get back to Jaden from Idaho.
Hello.
Hey, Jaden, have we ever met? Because we both live here in Idaho. Have we ever met? We have?
I've been on your show when you used to be there. Yeah, I was a lot younger then. I'm still pretty young. I'm still a teenager.
Okay. All right. Well, good. So, you know, I was going to say, you know, I've thought a lot of bad things. I remember a specific time in my life when bad thoughts about God would just rise up. And I'm like, where are they coming from? What's going on?
That's how I'm feeling right now.
Yeah. Well, okay, all I can tell you is what I did. I kept just saying, I just rebuked that in the name of Jesus. And just, that was it. Just go on with my life. I'd learned something.
Well, that's what I keep doing.
Well?
I keep repenting and asking for forgiveness, and I'm good. And then, like, the thoughts keep creeping back into my mind again. And then it's all over again.
Because you're a sinner.
I know.
That's it. We're the same. And so what you have to do is just rest on the Word of God. Just rebuke that, move on. Rebuke it. Just to dump.
Is there any thought that I could think that he wouldn't forgive me for?
No, you're not going to think that anything that would be unforgivable. And no, because you're a Christian. You love the Lord. You're
that
just
makes
struggling.
Me feel a lot better.
Yeah, you're just struggling.
Yeah. I've written down a lot of verses to help me. Psalms 73:26, Romans 3:19.
Good.
John 10:27-30.
Good. Well, how about this? Try Philippians 4, yeah. 6-8. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Find whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure and lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence and anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. You have to train your mind. And the Bible actually says be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It does. Did you know that?
Yes.
Okay, that's Romans 12:2.
God's been pointing out a lot of the verses lately.
Good. Mm-hmm. Well, you're experiencing Christianity, and you're experiencing the difficulties of walking properly. Welcome to the club. All right.
Okay.
You're okay. You're all right. Don't worry about it. God's not going to reject you. Jesus isn't mad at you. I mean, He saved you knowing everything about you, and He still loves you.
Yes.
Okay? Just like your dad, your mom and dad, you could be really a jerk, right, to them. Doesn't mean they don't love you. Doesn't mean they're going to give up on you, right? And God's infinitely more like that. Okay? All right, Jaden?
Okay.
Did that help?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. You think about it, you call back again.
I'm just worried it's going to happen again.
Well, then you just turn to Jesus again. Say, Lord, I just trust you. I'm just trusting you, no matter what. That's what you do. Just trust and say, trust you no matter what. No matter what I think, no matter what I do, I just trust you. I'm not perfect, but I trust you, Lord. My heart is yours. My hope is in you. And you just do that, and you move forward, okay? Do it all the time.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Well, God bless, Jaden. All right. All right, folks, three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Harry from Richmond, Virginia. Welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you, Matt. God bless you. This is I'm a long-time listener and a first-time caller. And going through a little something here, and I wanted to put it past you and see what you thought.
Okay.
I've been married about 30 years. And I have recently decided, with a little coaxing from the Lord, to go to seminary.
Okay.
And kind of excited about that. Now, my challenge that I have.
I could ask, which one?
What's that?
Which seminary?
Concordia in St. Louis.
Ah, you're Lutheran?
Yes, sir.
Okay, LCMS?
What do you assume? Yes, sir. LCMS, specifically.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm.
Well, that was actually the second part of my question, but the first part of my question was my wife. At one time, I had some really challenging problems with my career and whatnot, and she's done very well for us. We both worked our whole time. We're empty nesters now, and part of the challenge with that is with her job. She's very close to being, to retiring. But if we move right away, we're worried that's going to really affect her career and her retirement. Is that sinful thinking along those lines?
It's not sinful.
Can you give me any scripture to back that? Or I'm just curious what your thoughts were about that.
Well, what comes to mind is that you two need to make a decision together what you're going to do. How far out is it before she retires and gets retirement coming in?
Only a couple of years. So probably she could be fully vested in like 3 years, 4 years.
Okay. Is she willing to give all that up?
So that would be about the... Well, it seems like it's sinful for me to even think about that. You know what I mean?
Whatever is not a faith
like
is sin.
Not a good idea to put that first.
Whatever is not a faith is sin. Let me ask you, are you LCMS?
I am.
Okay.
I am. I came to the LCMS church after a...
Okay.
I had a long-term relationship with another church that went south.
Okay, so you're LCMS. I went to an LCMS college, just so you know. And and we could talk about all that. Concordia, and in fact, I went to Concordia, actually it's called Christ College Irvine. I went to Concordia University in Irvine, California, where I got my bachelor's degree.
Okay.
So, you know, a small world there. We won't talk about better or not better seminaries and things like that. They will give you, at least it was back then, they offered it to me, but I'm not Lutheran, I'm Reformed. And so they said that they would give me free tuition to seminary if I would, you know, then agree to go into ministry in the LCMS. I don't know if that still is standing there with you. But there's also the option.
It is.
It is, okay. So, one of the things I would think about considering if I were you, just to consider, is doing distance learning for a while until she can get that full vesting, and then you have that security of income coming in. It's just a good thing, particularly considering how the economy's going and how the left is moving us towards socialism and stuff like that. Now, on the other hand, I'm not saying don't go. I'm not saying don't move to St. Louis. I'm saying that you two have to decide what you're going to do. So I have a suggestion for you. I call it a tens chart. And what it is plus 10, minus 10. And you say a value, like for moving is, a plus 7. Hers is a negative 7, let's just say. That comes out to an average of 0. You put a 0 in that square. So a tens chart is what my wife and I did to decide where to move to and if we should move when we decided what to do from Southern California. And we ended up here in Idaho. But long story short, we did the vertical lines were all the cities, and the horizontal was all the conditions like rent, food, you know, whatever it was. And we just put plus and minus. And that really helped us as we added up all the numbers afterwards. It really helped us to be able to decide where our interests were and what the advantages were to different areas. We couldn't see it from 30 feet up because we just didn't have that ability to weigh all of the information simultaneously and see it all at once. What this was is a method for putting numeric values on certain aspects of decision making. And it worked for us. It was great. We decided what city to move to, long story short. Boise's values came up twice of every other city we considered. And we ended up here. Anyway, so this is something you got to consider. So giving up, for example, giving up vesting in 2 years, she might put negative 10, you might put negative 8. Well, then that would be a negative 9. Or you might say 0, and it'd be a negative. If she puts a negative 5, you put it, you know, negative 2 or 3. Or whatever it is, if you say moving to, you know, seminary is a positive 10, I mean, it's definitely a positive to go serve God. And if the Lord's calling you to do that, you have to answer that call if you believe he is. So you need to do it prayerfully. You need to do it with the counsel of elders and things like that and see what the overall counsel is. If it was 10 years out to get the vesting, I'd be like, whatever. For 2 years, that's, you know, you got to reach out and touch that almost. And but then you don't want to put monetary gain and security over serving the Lord. So this is just no way to win this would easily. And hold on, buddy, we got a break coming up. All right, hey folks, three open lines. If you'd like to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome back, everyone, to the last segment of the show. We have three open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. Harry from Richmond, are you still there?
I am, thank you.
All right, so I gave you a bunch of information that probably didn't help at all.
Actually, it did. It actually affirmed because... we've done a lot of introspection, a lot of prayer, and we have done this pros and cons is what I call them. Okay. And I guess I was just concerned because if she does, she can transfer to another job out there. It'll just be at a lesser, you know what I mean? It'll be at a lesser grade. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's
okay.
Anyway, she's a little bit younger than me, so I want to respect that, but she's following me. She's on board, and mm-hmm. we're supposed to meet with the, you know, with a board here, and both of us are being interviewed. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
But,
so what are you going to do?
So
what do you think you're going to do then?
I mean, I've got to go. I've got to answer the call.
Okay.
I mean, you know, God told me in no uncertain terms, this is what he wants to happen.
Then you do it.
Almost quite literally. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Absolutely. Just one other question I'd like to ask of you. I've heard you talk about, you know, a lot. We agree on a lot of the principles of the Catholic Church. My father-in-law was Roman Catholic, and my wife was, too. And we just went through a really difficult time burying him because it was Catholic, and it was really difficult.
Yeah. Yeah.
Martin Luther obviously was a Catholic. And, you know, so I was just curious. I mean, a lot changed between, you know, the Reformation and, you know, the Catholic Church. I was just curious if you had any insights, especially having gone to a Lutheran seminary.
No, I went to a Presbyterian seminary. Just so you know, Presbyterian seminary, but a Lutheran college. Okay, so go ahead.
Oh, okay, okay. Okay. Did you have any insights of things I should, you know, things I should consider and things I should pray about?
For seminary?
Well, I was just curious. I've never heard you talk about the Lutheran church. You're not going to offend me.
Okay. Lutheranism teaches that you can lose your salvation, and I believe Jesus speaks against that. It doesn't teach that you can lose it easily, though, and it does also teach a sacerdotal kind of a system. You should maybe know what that is, but where the sacraments are a means of grace. And then there's the issue of ex opere operata, which is by the doing it is done, where in the LCMS mode, and I took all the theology classes in college, the LCMS mode of infant baptism, I have no problem with infant baptism. I'm a Presbyterian, but not for salvation. But they say that the baby's actually saved in that process. And I just don't see that in Scripture. And so there's some issues there that, as a Reformed five-pointer, I would naturally take umbrage with. But that's not to say they're not Christians. I learned a great deal of theology and benefited from the likes of Rod Rosenblatt, who was a bigwig back in there in the theological circles, and others. So if God's calling you to go to the LCMS college, then you obey him. But I've got some advice for you what to do to prepare for it, if you're interested in that.
Sure.
Start studying Greek and Hebrew now. Start studying Greek and Hebrew now.
That's the reason why I didn't do the remote, because they do not, when you're doing the remote classes and the remote track, they don't teach you the Greek and the Hebrew. They only do that for the MDiv.
Are you going to do an MDiv?
I am.
Okay. Start studying Greek and Hebrew now. Just get books, start studying on your own, learn the alphabet, learn parsing, learn declensions, learn paradigms. You're going to need it. I'd also recommend you get a computer with a speech program, Dragon Naturally Speaking, so that you don't have to type everything. You can speak it out, because you're going to have to write paper after paper after paper after paper. When I went to seminary, within the first 4 days, within the first week, we only went from Tuesday to Friday. By Friday, we were translating Hebrew. That fast. And they didn't have the speech program then, but I would have used it because I had also something like 4 or 5 20 to 25-page papers that were assigned. Not to mention basically 500 pages to 1,000 pages to read. So you learn your theology, learn it well, and start prepping on Greek, because if you've been married 30 years, you're probably in your 50s, I'm assuming, right?
I am, late 50s.
Okay. So, unfortunately, you're in your late 50s. Your frontal lobes are not as pristine as they were back in your younger days.
You got that right.
All right. And so you're going to see these youngins around you just parsing circles around you. All right. In parsing, you know, what is the verb a me? Present active indicative, first person singular. And they're going to ask you stuff like this in Greek. Okay. And what's a furto pata in Hebrew? What's the paradigm structure? How do you do this? It's just, put it this way, I learned in seminary that no one ever spoke Greek in the Old Testament in back those days. They never. It was not possible. They invented Greek to kill people and destroy their brains in the future. They made it up. Okay, then we'll do it this way, and then we'll do it that way. Nouns can be changed in their form 24 different ways. Case, gender, number. Start studying it now. You need a head start.
Thank you, sir. It's a pleasure talking to you. It's been a real blessing. I'll continue listening, and I'll let you go for the next call if they need you.
All right. God bless, buddy. All right. All right. Let's get to Alberto from Georgia. Hey, Alberto. Welcome. You're on the air.
Yes. Good evening, Master Lee. What do you think about if I was a Christian who has an addiction but smoking cigarettes, right? But then I go to a bar and yell out to everybody, all those sinners, hey, man, I'm a Christian. Then I light one up and sit among them, and what they would think of me, would they consider me a Christian or not? Because they'll see me smoking just like they're smoking. There won't be no difference.
That's the question.
Regardless where I'm at.
That's the issue. You don't want to be so in the world so comfortable that people can't tell that you're a Christian. So is it a sin to smoke a cigar? I don't believe so. Is it a sin to have a beer? I don't believe so. Is it a sin to go to a bar? I don't believe so. Should you do those things? Well, what's the reason for them? If you go to a bar, what's the reason? Is it to hang out with your buds, shoot pool? Is it a good reason? Is it a good environment? Do the people there cuss and swear? Are you cussing and swearing? And they can't tell? Then it's sinful. Are you going there for the purpose of witnessing and looking for people to witness to? Well, that's a possibility that might make it okay. There's just reasons. You know, I'm not saying every detail has to be understood right now, but these are the general kind of things you've got to ask. I don't recommend anybody go to bars personally, but...
Yeah, okay. But the Bible says that doesn't say for 1 Thessalonians 5:20, doesn't it say from the appearance of evil? Right?
Exactly.
So,
that's the thing. That's exactly right. You do not want to have any appearance of evil. That's why, I'm not going to drive in the car with a woman who's not my wife. I don't want to, any guests over our house who's a female with my wife not here. You know, I won't do those kind of things. And so if you're going to get a cigar and a beer and you're not coming out of a bar and someone sees you doing that, what are they going to conclude? Well, you can't be responsible for the conclusions, but you are responsible for how you appear. And so therefore, you got to be careful. So you don't want to stumble anybody through your freedom, and that's the whole point. Okay?
So... Okay, but what about, do you believe that Christians should drink wine? I believe that Jesus never drank wine. Actually, alcohol. I believe he drank the grape juice.
No.
He squeezed it for the grape.
No.
I don't believe he actually had fermented wine.
Sure he did.
Huh?
Okay, there's no problem with that at all. Yeah, why not? He made wine, and he made it...
Can you prove it to me?
He made wine, and he made it mature. He created wine in 6 water pots in John 2, and he's the creator, and the world was created in 6 days. And so God did things in order, and the maturity in the things. The animals were already there. They didn't evolve. The oceans were already there. They're all set. So the wine that he created was mature wine. It's called wine. Furthermore, in Proverbs 31:6, it says this, give strong drink to him who's perishing, and wine to him whose life is bitter. So the Bible tells us to actually drink as a form of medicine. That's what it says, Proverbs 31:6. People are surprised by that. So is Jesus going to be making grape juice at the wedding? Of course not. They didn't do that at weddings. They had wine. Jesus created wine. And he was going to drink the supper, and they used wine. It wasn't grape juice. It had alcohol in it. It was low-level alcohol, and the reason was because low-level alcohol kept water from going bad. They didn't have refrigerators. Okay? And that's what they did.
Yeah, because
there's noise in the background.
I'm on a public bus, unfortunately.
Oh, okay, public bus, okay.
Anyway, I heard in Jewish culture it's considered barbaric for a person to drink because a strong drink is because barbaric. So that's why
I'm telling you,
eight part water or
who cares?
Or
who cares what they say?
One part.
Who cares? What does the Bible say? Give strong drink to him who's perishing and wine to him whose life is bitter. Proverbs 31:6. So, Jesus, that's what it says to do. That's the Old Testament. And that wine is not grape juice that it was instructed to give. Is Jesus going to be just making grape juice and just drinking grape juice? Of course not. Okay? Nothing wrong with having some wine.
Okay.
Don't be an alcoholic.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Don't be an alcoholic.
I know that.
Moderation and things like
all
that.
Right.
Okay. All right, buddy. God bless.
All right.
All right, let's get to Marta from Charlotte, North Carolina. Marta, welcome. You're on the air.
How you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I just have a big question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I need to know how was possible that the fallen angels got in sexual relation with the women. I thought the angels didn't have no sex, defined sex. Can you explain that a little bit?
We don't know what angels can or cannot do, exhaustively. But we do know that they can appear as people, and we can't tell the difference. That's a fact, because it says we've entertained angels. Okay, where is that verse? Entertained. Let's see if we can find this. Hebrews 13:2.
Oh, yeah.
Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Now think about this. Hospitality to strangers means you invite them into your house, you feed them, you take care of them, you wash their feet, you give oil for their head. That's what it meant in that culture. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying there, and some people didn't even know that they were actually angels, which means they have full-blown hair, they can sweat, and everything, and they weren't distinguishable. So, this is what the Bible is telling us in Hebrews 13:2. So, what we know is that we're out of time. The Nephilim of Genesis 6. Come back tomorrow. We'll talk some more about it.
Yeah, that's what I was.
All right.
Yeah, that's what
Call
I
back tomorrow.
To say,
we're out of time. We're out of time. Call back tomorrow. Okay, good. And Erlene, what day is the Sabbath? The day that you worship on. Okay, call back tomorrow. We'll talk more about that. Hey, everybody, I hope you had a great time listening. May the Lord bless you. And by His grace, we're back on there tomorrow. Talk to you then.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.